Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Nolan. It's good to be with you all this morning. Family, God is, you know, all that stuff that just happened with the screen, I don't even care. You want to know why I don't care? Because I read Facebook this week. I was on Facebook. And I read something. And it kind of, I don't know how to say it. It bothered me. So I'm going to share a story with y'all. Before I do that, I want to have you guys picture yourselves or picture something in your mind for a moment. Picture yourselves exactly how you are currently with one single thing changed. This might make some of us uncomfortable. And it's meant to do that. Picture yourself how you are with the one thing changed is that there's rafters and there's birds above us. There's doves and there's pigeons and there's ravens and there's crows and they're all above us. And they're doing what birds do. Yeah, they're normal birds. Flying around. Making noise, pooping. Let me ask you, does that sound like a comforting scene to you? Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know. When I was thinking about it, I was thinking, the thought of bird poop on my head, it doesn't sound that comforting in church, no. So I read something on Facebook that bothered me. And the article is titled, "Beware of the Birds, How Satan Sabotages Sermons" by author Greg Morse. And he starts the article this way. "Every Sunday morning they perch among us. Listen closely and you can hear their wings flapping overhead. Singing voices have quieted. The preacher mounts his summit. The book is laid open. As the people fidget in the pew, readying to hear God speak through a man, the crows and ravens stir in anticipation. Caws and muffled croaks murmur in the rafters. Some sound eerily like a chuckle. Jesus heard them as he got up to preach. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." Mark 4, verses 3 and 4. As a preacher begins to scatter the good seed of God's word about the congregation, it meets the path. The hard and trampled, unplowed and unhumbled heart. Disinterest, distraction, carelessness, laziness, ignorance, all keep the seed out. The truth of Christ, of sin, of salvation goes into the person's ear, rests atop the heart, never to enter it. Hearing, they do not hear. Seeing, they do not see. They never hear the word enough to turn or be forgiven. Yet the seed does not remain atop the hardened path. Jesus watches it get eaten by birds. They watch from above, heads jerk, up, down, left, right, tilt. Eyes scour below, looking for seed uncovered, defenseless. There, a kernel rests for a few moments, exposed. Swoop, a dark flash falls as lightning from heaven. The seed disappears. The word about the dying God, the word of life, the word of warning gone. Devoured. Perhaps a feather is left in its place. And then later on in the article, the author points out that Satan and his legions are the birds in the parable of the sower. You and I will miss church on Sunday at times. Satan never misses a Sunday. Morse continued on to say, Satan does not feast for nourishment. He feasts so that you won't. That sinners might not find or continue with Christ. Luke's account has it. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Luke 8:12. Paul calls it, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Jesus, who would have us hear and through hearing with faith see his glory, listen, behold, he started his sermon. Dismiss, ignore is what the birds are shrieking this morning. The birds devour by distractions. The birds are here to distract you from encountering God and hearing and seeing what God has for you here at church this morning. And this is a very real battle that we have to face this morning. So why do I share this with you? Because my title is actually titled, Don't Waste Your Opportunity in the Morning. Well, the battle that we are facing currently and that we faced just a little bit ago when the screens went nothing, nobody knew what to sing. Some of us know the song already, but it was certainly a distraction. I don't think that happened for no reason. I think Satan was here to distract us. And he would use that to distract us. And so just as Satan and his birds are here to distract and devour this morning, we have the same battle to face each and every morning. So point number one, I'm going to be looking at the book of Luke this morning, Luke and Matthew, Luke 24. I'm kind of in the Easter passage. I don't know why, that's where I am. So point number one is wake up in the morning and find Jesus. Luke 24, verses 1 through 5, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb. Bringing the spices they had prepared, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. It's interesting that the women got up in the morning and went searching for Jesus where they thought he could be found. The women woke up that morning and headed to a place where they thought that the dead body of Jesus would be laying in the tomb. They were coming to anoint his body with perfumes. And when they got to the entrance of the tomb, to their surprise, a very large stone had been rolled away. Where is Jesus' body at? It's a mystery to these women, but Jesus, who in their minds was supposed to be dead, knows exactly what's going on. He knows that the women were coming to look for him. The tomb, the grave, was not a permanent spot for the Lord Jesus. Wake up in the morning, I encourage you, and talk to Jesus because he is alive. Early in the morning, I can kind of be like a mummy walking around the house. I get up and I'm tripping on everything. Danny says I walk loudly. She knows right where I'm at, even though she can't see me. I'm dropping things, making all kinds of noise. I have trouble finding things. Other than being annoying in the morning, I've also tried to make some good habits for myself in the morning. I'm not great at it. I'm actually pretty poor at it, but I'm trying. There's a psalm. Psalm 119, verse 147, the longest psalm, and so verse 147 of that psalm says, I rise before dawn and cry out for help. I put my hope in your word. Look at the first half of the psalm. An act I'm trying to make a habit in my own life is before I get out of bed or roll out of bed, just to cry out for help, God. Help me today. And the crying out is a crying out in my mind. If I cried out aloud, started yelling in the morning, my wife would probably kill me. So I'm not doing that. She wouldn't do that. She's way better than that. But you get the point. Don't yell in the morning. And here's a few examples of the things that maybe I'm trying to cry out in the morning. These might be things that might also apply to you. God, I cannot face the trials and pressures and the stress and anxiety of today without your help. This one doesn't apply directly to me, but it might apply to you. God, I cannot battle this cancer without your help. God, I cannot submit to my boss without your help. God, I cannot be nice to my spouse or be patient with my children without your help. God, I cannot submit to you and follow you without your help. We're really helpless people. And without God's strength, we're really hopeless people. You cannot deflect the fiery darts of Satan without God's help. And without God's strength. You cannot fight sin in your life without God's strength. So how do we receive God's help and strength in the morning? By God's grace. By His grace, He gives us strength and assurance. The second half of the psalm, if you go back to the psalm, 119, 147, the second half says, I put my hope in your word. God has given us his breathed out word in the 66 books of the Bible. Breathed out by God and written by man. We can read and understand the Bible because it was written by man. We can trust the Bible because it was inspired by God. Here are some examples of some reflections to meditate on in the morning. God, you have promised me suffering today, but God, your word is like the sweetness of honey on my tongue. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, your word is where I find the hope of everlasting life in your presence. And this life may not be easy, but Jesus, your yoke is light, and your heart is gentle and lowly, and you care for a lonely, weak sheep like me. Jesus, this morning I put my hope and my trust in you as the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. And Jesus, this morning, I look to you to run this race. Jesus, you have already ran this race, so I look to you for help and strength this morning. Meditate on these things. I encourage you. Point number two, God's mercies are new every morning. Luke 24, verses 5 through 8 says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words." It says, it is good to be reminded of and to remember the words of Jesus in the morning. I get the picture that the angels are chilling in the tomb pretty much. You know, they're sitting on the rocks or they're sitting on the stone. I guess that's an angel thing to do. I'm not sure. The angels are proclaiming the risen Jesus and reminding the women, like, don't y'all remember Jesus' words? Jesus is not here. He's alive. Jesus is risen from the grave. This tomb cannot hold the body of Jesus. Jesus created this tomb. He's no ordinary man. This was the plan before the foundation of the world. Jesus had to be tortured by sinners. Jesus had to be crucified at Calvary. Those nails had to be pounded through his hands and in his feet. Jesus had to be resurrected from the tomb. No stone or guard was going to hold him back. Not an army of 10,000 or a stone the size of Mount Everest was going to hold Jesus back from rising from the tomb. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and that assured Jesus' own death. God raised Jesus from the tomb, and that assures our resurrection someday. God has shown us great mercy. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23 says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The gospel is really a story of the mercy of God. Preach the gospel to yourself in the morning. Read the gospel to yourself in the morning. Talk to God about the gospel each and every morning. And beware the birds that are trying to distract you, that are trying to come down and devour what God has for you in the morning. Can you count the mercies of God in your own life? And you have an opportunity. Don't waste your opportunity. You have an opportunity in the morning to think about the mercies of God. Choose to savor in that moment. Observation number three, point number three, joy comes in the morning. I switched gospel accounts from Luke 24 to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10 says, so departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, this is the women departing, running. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, greetings. They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. The emotional response, Matthew tells us, when the women left the tomb is fear and great joy. And think in your mind, is there ever a moment in your life where the emotional response was both fear and great joy? I could not recall a moment in my life that I had both fear and great joy. But I used my imagination a little bit, and I thought of it may be the response of a woman before she gives birth to a child. The woman before she gives birth to a child, y'all are know way more about this than me, might be the fear of the pain that's going to happen, but also great joy of the precious miracle baby that's about to be born. I don't know. That might work. I think that works. You tell me, I guess. The women are running to go and tell the friends and disciples of Jesus about what they knew. Then Jesus met them on their journey and greets them. And Jesus talks kindly to them. Jesus talks to the women first, and they continue, / are sent to go and tell the disciples what had happened and where to go meet Jesus. That's what's happening here. Psalm 30, verse 5. I know I'm spending a lot of time in Psalms and the Gospels this morning. Psalm 30, verse 5, familiar passage. Weeping may stay overnight, but there's joy in the morning. The night of the death of Jesus would have been a night of great sorrow, of weeping, of misery for Jesus, but misery for many. Like, he was the one. He was the king of the Jews. He was the Messiah. And he's dead? Yet there was great joy when the women left the empty tomb, knowing that Jesus is not here. Something's happened. Then to meet the risen Jesus, the joy must have been overwhelming, friends. And they worshiped him, and they grabbed his feet. Don't leave me again, Jesus. Don't go. Stay. And when the darkness and the night seem to be overcoming you, remember and hold on to the foundation that Jesus is the joy that comes with the sunrise. Jesus will be there with you through the darkness, no doubt. But the picture is that Jesus is like the rising sun that overcomes all darkness. He is the living waters, and he is the fountain of eternal joy. A few points of application from the Psalms. I have 4 Psalms here. They're not going to be up there. I'll say them and then I'll read them. Psalm 59, verse 16 says, "But I will sing of your strength and will joyfully proclaim your faithful love in the morning." All 4 of these Psalms involve the phrase faithful love. And in some translations, it's translated loving kindness, mercy, loyal love. So continuing, Psalm 90, verse 14 says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love, so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days." Psalm 92, verses 1 through 2 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Final psalm, Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you." And so I encourage you, those 4 psalms all involve the phrase faithful love, but there's 4 different verbs used in each psalm, or in the 4 psalms. So I encourage you to joyfully proclaim God's faithful love in the morning. I encourage you to allow God's faithful love to satisfy you in the morning. I encourage you to declare God's faithful love in the morning. And I encourage you to experience God's faithful love in the morning. My final thought is, don't waste your opportunity in the morning to remember that Jesus is alive. Now, friends, if we would all have been at the tomb on Easter morning, we would have came with the expectation that the women came with, to find a dead body in the tomb. But the words of the angelic being ring true this morning when he said, referring to Jesus, "Jesus, he is not here, but he has risen." Now, long after this encounter with the angels, the women have an encounter with their Savior and King. These women encounter the risen Jesus in his finest beauty and the perfection, and they grab onto his feet. I think they grabbed onto his feet to prevent him from leaving them again. Now, if you all want something to celebrate this morning, celebrate the risen Jesus. Friends, Jesus is alive. I know I've said that a lot today. It's kind of an emphasis. Since Jesus is alive, you and I can wake up in the morning and find Jesus. So don't waste your opportunity in the morning to wake up and find Jesus. In Luke 24, after Jesus had risen while he was walking along the path with some of his disciples, they were feeling hopeless is what they were feeling. They were like, Jesus is dead. The disciples were like, some of these ladies, they came to us and they said some weird things that, like, he's not there anymore, but it's all getting too weird for us, so we're going home. Luke 24, verses 26 and 27 says, it's Jesus talking to the disciples. He says, "Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the scriptures and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." That is Jesus saying that the Old Testament is about himself. The Old Testament is about Jesus. Find Jesus not only in the Gospels, not only in the New Testament, but in all 66 books of the Bible. Find him everywhere in the morning. Talk to him. We need the book of Ezekiel just as much as we need the book of Luke. We need the book of Leviticus. I know. Just as much as we need the book of Romans. So I encourage you, as the women seeing Jesus and they grabbed onto his feet, don't leave me. I just encourage you this morning, because we still are in the morning, I guess. So I'm encouraging you now to go and find Jesus, not waste that opportunity. To reflect on his mercies that are new every morning. To reflect on the greatest mercy of God that anyone could imagine, that he's taken away our punishment that was rightfully to us, sin. He's taken that away. Jesus has taken that away. And I encourage you to find joy in Jesus in the morning. And grab onto his feet and reflect on these things. And think about these things. And I pray, guys, that you would just seek and you would savor in that moment with Jesus in the morning. He's so good to us. He's a fountain of joy. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with us and sing.